Gangrene, Season 8, Episode 23, Jerebko Dickey.
We know every single jersey
number. Yes, we do.
That is probably our
claim to
fame.
Off the top of my noggin. You can find us at iTunes.
Yes.
And listen to all sorts of knowledge besides numbers.
Take the bus ride to work.
Mostly numbers.
Put us on.
Yeah, listen to us. And while you're listening to us, if you want to yell at us via Twitter, you can do that. You can watch us on Instagram. It's at Gangrene TV.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's at Gangrene TV.
While you're listening to the show, go on your mobile device and check out Instagram photos.
That's right.
At Gangrene TV.
Absolutely.
And then once you're done watching everything, just call us or text us.
And that's
508-731
GGTV. GGTV. Speaking of that phone number.
We're so in sync today.
I know. I feel it.
So good. I can feel it. I can feel the show. It's going to be a good one.
Partners.
Tell us who's on the show today.
In a few minutes, we're going to have John Corrales from RedsArmy.com on.
The boss. The big boss.
But speaking of the text, Dave, we got a question.
We did. We finally got a text.
Yes. Would you like to read that?
I would. Okay. I would. With the Celtics win the other day against the Hornets, the Celtics are now the eighth seed.
Yes,
are we better off in the eighth playing the Hawks, or should we go for the seventh playing Cleveland, or are we just happy to be there? I'll let you answer this first.
Okay. My answer
is kind of a loaded gun here.
Yeah. My answer is I don't think the seventh is a chance anymore. Nope. I think we're fighting to get in the eighth, and I would prefer the eighth anyways.
Three or four episodes ago, we were going gung-ho six.
Number one.
So
woo.
We're going to go all the way. We're gonna take Atlanta down. We're going to go number one. Atlanta's going to have to play
us. No, we did mention the seven or maybe the six
seed. Well, we were talking about the guys from Buckshots and how we were going to take over the six seed.
Yeah.
Those guys are
laughing.
That's
not going to happen. I think we're going to be lucky because we got brought back down to earth again.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
I think they're going to be lucky to get in. They got eight games left. I think they have to win at least half of them.
Well,
maybe more.
Listen, we have eight games. Like you said, we have eight games left. All eight of those games are do or die.
Brooklyn's right on our tail. They're screwing everything up for us.
Brooklyn is ruining everything. They're ruining our playoff chances. They're ruining our lottery.
Right? I thought they were going to go down, they didn't.
But the next eight games are very crucial. There's two against the Bucks, two against Cleveland, two against the Raptors, one against the Pistons. That is an ESPN game. And then the pace is coming up tomorrow. By the time you watch this, that game will probably be going on or in or over.
That's correct.
If we lose all these games, that's it for us.
But you know what? It changes every week. We're like, oh, no, oh, yes.
Right.
So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride like I have been.
You have to. You have to sit back and just enjoy it.
It's frustrating. Like, you know, you realize sometimes when you watch, like, the Clippers.
Right.
Like, oh, that's right. They're fun. They're not good.
And the text is asking that question, are we just happy to be there? Well, yes and no. It's too late to say, no, I'm not happy to be there, because we're already in the potential. Whether we make the playoffs or not, our draft pick is kind of messy now anyways. We're not really going to get that big. Of course, it's the ping pong and the lottery happens. But it's probably not going to be that good because
it's probably going to be about the same no matter whether we make it or not.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's curious to see what John's going to say. So.
Yeah, we're going to bring all this up with John again, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with John Corrales of RedsArmy.com. So we will be right back. Gangrene TV on iTunes is brought to you by Viking Motorsports. For all your general repairs and performance upgrades, Viking Motorsports is located on 134 Newbury Street, Peabody, Mass. That's Route 1 South, 978-536-3278. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes, and thank you to Viking Motorsports.
Hey, for all you Celtics fans out there who want to leave a message for the gang, the number is 508-731-GGTV. Once again, 508-731-4488. Thanks for tuning in, and stay infected.
And we are back with our good friend, Mr. John Corrales from RedsArmy.com. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Very well. Very well. I want to thank you for a good time on Saturday at the 9th annual Reds Army Party. I had a good time.
That was a good time. You were there.
I was. I was the handsome fellow in the corner. I don't know if you remembered me.
I thought that might have been you. I actually thought it was a Salvador Dali picture of you from what I saw. But what I remember, it's kind of hazy.
I was, you know, towards the end of the night, I could have been melting myself, so I understand. But
I'm not sure all I had was beer. now that I think about it.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about just not beer. So, but a fun night was had indeed. So John,
well, I'm glad one of you guys got to make it.
Yeah, I'm ashamed I didn't make it. I'm ashamed. I partied so hard that morning.
Yeah, with breast milk and baby food, you just couldn't make it.
I don't want to know what you're into.
Hey, different strokes for different folks, you know?
Right? Just read my Tumblr page. I have pictures of it.
Oh, boy. So we had a text question, Dave. You want to...
Yeah, John, earlier on in the first segment, we had a text question. The texter asked us, would you be better off playing the eighth seed playing the Hawks, the seventh seed playing the Cavaliers, or you just happen to be in the playoffs as is? So me and Kurt answered it. We're all kind of 50-50 about it. So what do you think about this? Should we fall off or should we press on? What do you think?
I have always said the team should be whatever it is. They should go out and play hard, and whatever happens. If they make the playoffs, great. It would be nice. I think that experience would be best for Brad Stevens, because he's going to be the guy that will be here in 3 or 4 years, and I don't know how many of these other guys will be. So it'll be good for him to get a sense of the playoff atmosphere, the shortening of rotations, the different substitutions, and other little things when you're managing a game, like longer halftimes, longer commercial breaks, different aspects of that change from the regular season. So I think that'll be good for him if they make the playoffs. If they don't, I don't mind if they miss the playoffs and fall into the lottery system. Realistically, their draft position won't be much different from making or missing the playoffs, but there is merit to missing, and who knows, maybe by some miracle our luck will change in the lottery and the Celtics will pull some kind of miracle and get a high draft pick.
Right.
So I don't mind. As far as seeding, to answer the specific question, none of that matters. Because Atlanta, Cleveland, it's going to be a romp either way. The Celtics have only eight of their wins have come against winning teams. And I know people will say we've beaten Atlanta, but I don't really put much stock in, when was it, January, February that we played Atlanta?
Right. It was January 24th.
Yeah, I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in a game. Remember when the Celtics were good and they lost some insane games in January. People went nuts, and then we blew through the play. It doesn't mean anything.
Not us.
Yeah, present company included.
I am a very even-keeled person. I don't know what any of you are talking about.
It's a lie. It's
very
a lie.
Positive.
Yeah.
Never negative about anything.
Right. I know who you are.
Right.
I'm on to you.
Oh, boy.
The Celtics don't beat good teams, but that's exactly what you expect from a team that's fighting for the eighth spot in the bad conference.
Right.
They do very well against the bad teams. They're like 25-15 against sub-500 teams, but they've only got 8 wins against the good teams. So, that just tells you exactly where they are. Atlanta is too good. Cleveland is too good. We might win a game because there's, it's hard to sweep a team, but I don't think it's going to be very competitive as a series. They might be challenging in some games for some stretches, but I think they're not going to embarrass themselves. But look, they're fighting for the eighth seed for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a game or so every week or so that kind of like knocks you back down, and you're like, oh, that's right, fun doesn't equal good.
Right.
Like San Antonio and the Clippers the other day, you realize, like,
right.
Oh, that's right.
Good teams out west, you see what they really are. And look, I don't want to take away. I get crap on Twitter from some really diehard fans, which is good. I like the fact that they have that passion. But, I'm not being negative just to be like, I hate this team. I'm being realistic about this team. We love them because they're beating the odds, and they shouldn't even be fighting for an eighth seed, and they are, and we love them. And we do. But I'm also, part of my job as far as running this blog is to be realistic. I'm not going to lie to people. This is the situation they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I still love the team. It just, it brings you back to earth. But I haven't been this positive in years. for crying out loud.
It's true. John, I got a question for you. There was a Steve Wilpett article in the Herald the other day, and he interviewed Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was quoted saying, "It's not my objective to be the eighth seed in the playoffs. My objective is to win championships. We're far from that." So do you think like Danny's upset that we're in the hunt for the playoffs? Do you think like he's got some trick up his sleeve? And what is it that we're missing? What do we need in order to have that big piece?
I wish Stats was right here.
I know.
Better players.
Well, better players.
Better players. Look, the Celtics, there's no blueprint for how to rebuild. I don't think Danny Ainge is upset. I don't see why you would be upset at an overachieving team, because that just, I think that adds value to the guys who are here that may end up potentially being traded. And it adds value to your coach, who, if you're a free agent, you're going to say, who am I going to be playing for?
Right.
And so overachieving and doing better than expected, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. So I don't think he's upset. I think he's just being realistic, like I've been saying. People get excited about being the eighth seed when you're not supposed to be. When after the Rondo and Green trades, we're all sitting there going, well, here comes a 20-some-odd win season. We're just going to go into the crapper, and we'll just deal with it in the summer. And all of a sudden, here we are, potentially winning 35, 36 games, and everybody's psyched. But Danny Ainge is not psyched, because his goal, this is nice, but his goal is 2 or 3 years down the road, and he's just looking at the bigger picture. And I think when he says his goal isn't to make eighth seed, he's just speaking realistically. Charlotte would be thrilled to be the eighth seed.
Right.
Charlotte needs to make the playoffs. A team like that has struggled perennially, needs to and has the goal of, we need to make the playoffs, and they're happy about that.
Well, especially with an owner like Jordan. I mean, he doesn't know how to lose. So, like, owning a team that never makes the playoffs or made the playoffs once in the last 10 years, it's got to kill him inside.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, a team that eats at him. But Ainge is kind of like a cold-blooded, not too high, not too low, which is why Brad Stevens is kind of perfect in this situation. You just got to look at what your goals are. And the only time you can really be happy is when you're pouring champagne over one another and
right,
kissing the feet. That's when you get happy. But I think that Ainge is in a good spot. I think he's happy to be where he is, as far as you feel good about having the assets, the players, the draft picks, and just kind of being in a position to take advantage. I was talking to some of the guys today about the Zach Lowe article about the Celtics not having a specific plan. And I think that when you look at teams that are rebuilding and they need things like luck to hit, like Oklahoma City needs the luck to get Kevin Durant. Celtics don't have that kind of luck, but they were in a position to flip what did they flip for Tyler Zeller? They managed to put themselves in a position to take Tyler Zeller off of Cleveland's hands,
right,
when they were trying to dump stuff for LeBron.
Right.
And they managed to put themselves in a position to say, hey, we'll take Marcus Thornton for you. Brooklyn, you're trying to cut costs. We'll take him and we'll see. And they flip that and they get Isaiah Thomas for basically nothing.
Right.
So when you talk about being lucky, that's manufacturing your own luck. So that's the type of stuff that I think Danny Ainge is doing and preparing himself to do for the next year or two. And then that's what you put good role players around that team, and then you see what superstars are out there that can say, hey, look at that supporting cast over there. I can go plug right in, whether it's Durant or Aldridge or LeBron or Kevin Love or whomever, whenever. You just need that transcendental player that can come along and say, I like the pieces you have there. I can be the straw that stirs this drink. Let's go. I'm in.
Right. I mean, you have to think that somebody out there, one of the major superstars out there right now, is noticing a team like the Celtics right now. And it's just a team full of mediocre players, and like there's no big name on it, if unless you count Gerald Wallace as the big name, but there's no like superstars on the team, and they're still doing it. So I mean, I feel like somebody out there, like, you know, like you said, like a LeBron or like a Kevin Durant or even like a Kevin Love would be like, hey, I bet you I can do that. I bet you I can bring those guys to the next level.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But I mean, I feel like there has to be someone out there who can see, who's actually noticing. They're taking notice. Be like, hey, I'm a free agent next year. Let's toy with the idea.
Yeah. Or, you know, you could also do what they did the last time. Put all of these mediocre to sort of good players together and have a team, let's just say Oklahoma City for the sake of argument, because why not?
Right.
They're moving along. They have questions about Durant. They definitely have an owner that's not willing to do things like pay the tax. And they may look at the conference and say, you know what? Not going to work for us. We've got to figure out something else. We're going to make one of our guys available, either Russell Westbrook or Durant, and we're going to try a different direction. And so here comes Danny Ainge, much like the KG trade, making a move, saying here are all of these little pieces that you can put around the other guy that you keep, and you can save some money and so on and so forth, and we'll take this superstar and we'll build around him.
Right.
And, you know, so there are a number of different ways. And there's no real blueprint. Here, if you put all your eggs in one basket, in that one free agent basket, and like fans say, what's our specific plan? Who are we going to go get? I need to know. Well, that's what how many teams did for LeBron back when he was in the decision days. And take a look at the
right,
Knicks, for
example. Right.
Look at all of these teams that cleared a ton of space.
And now they're suffering for it.
Out on LeBron, exactly.
And they're still
and
suffering.
They still are.
3 years later, the Knicks are still just dying.
Because they had all of that money and all of that pressure, and they said, oh, no, we got to do something with that money, and you way overpay for Amari Stoudemire just to say, hey, we didn't get this guy, but we got another really good guy,
nope.
And he wasn't really very good.
And now he's taking red wine bath.
Oh, God. if you sit there and you say, Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent. We're clearing all of this space for this year, and we're going to go, that is our main priority, number one priority. And you don't get them, you're like, oh, no.
Right.
Then you do things like you trade away guys for less value than you normally could have gotten because you're just clearing away space. And if you miss out because 10 teams are going to be doing it and only one team's going to actually get them, and it might still be Oklahoma City, so those other 10 teams are going to go, now what?
Right, there's no solid plan B.
Out there, right. You know, so that's why you don't sit there and say, this is, of course, Ainge will sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to go after Durant, but he's not my only thing. I got other plans, I got other things that we can do, options. It's all about having the options.
John, speaking about all these options and all these pieces, last week we did a little thing where we each picked three players that we would absolutely want to keep on this team.
Yes.
I'd be interested to see who you would want to pick.
I
know
that
you didn't have time to think about it, but you know.
Last week, neither did we.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Marcus Smart, because he, as much as he needs to mature, and as much as I didn't like that nut punch situation, I think that his defensive tenacity is amazing. His willingness to shoot, even though he's not shooting particularly well right now, it just shows a confidence in himself and in his game. And I just think that you need like a pit bull guy like that.
Right.
I'm going to keep Isaiah Thomas just because he's just got that thing that he's got the ability to run that pick and roll. And you need a guy that is a threat to shoot or drive in that pick and roll situation.
And he's a blast to watch.
Sorry?
He's a blast to watch.
And he's fun to watch, yes. And so I know there's a couple of small guys there. And I'm going to anger Kurt by saying Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, man. Not Zeller?
But no. No, you know why? Here's why I like Olynyk, and I think that's taking a chance because I like the other two guys for the mentality, and Olynyk's problem is his mentality. But the thing with Olynyk is that he does all of the things, or he can do all of the things you need a guy in that position to do in today's NBA. He can really stretch. He's a definite threat from three, and he can really stretch out the floor. I think a guy like Olynyk, if you can get him right, and remember, he's only a couple years in, so it's not like, oh, God, this is all he's ever going to be. He has plenty of time to develop, but when you have a seven-foot center that can stretch the floor at any point, not just the corner, he can hit from the top of the key, he can hit from the elbows, you know, so he can hit from anywhere in the floor, so he's definitely going to draw away any shot blockers.
John, you can't see it right now, but the look of disappointment on Kurt's face is hilarious.
No, you're making total sense, and I'm willing to change my mind. I'm not there yet on him, and I want to be.
No, and you know what? And he's not there yet either. But you know, look, there are reasons for his stunted development. First and foremost, he's not aggressive enough, and we've seen that when he is aggressive, he has shown flashes of all of these things that we want him to be. He's also played with Rondo for half a year and not Rondo for half a year, and you know, different guys around him, and he's been used differently. So I think in a more stable rotation and just somebody, I don't know, smacking him across the back of the head with a 2x4 every once in a while just to get him fired up.
I'm in for the job.
Just the potential there to have, I think, in today's NBA, almost a prototypical center for the type of offense that Brad Stevens seems to want to run, this read, react, spread the floor. You know, he's got really good passing ability. He can put the ball on the floor, up fake, and put the ball on the floor and drive. He just needs to get his head right and just mature a little bit and get more aggressive, and I think he can really, really help. So that's why I'm choosing him.
They're all solid picks. They are. I mean, everybody wants to see pieces of this team still here, and I think, you know, everyone's got a good pick, and I think if you combine the four of us, we just picked the whole team. But, I mean, what else? You know? All right, John, real quick, we got a final question for you. We want to appreciate you coming on today. I know we were late, and we apologize, but we have one final question for you. We tweeted out the picture. You retweeted it for us. We threw it on Instagram. You liked it. We need to know, John, what is Wallace wondering? If you don't remember the picture, I can describe it to you now.
I remember the picture.
Even Chuck commented on this picture, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened on your way home.
That was how I carried Chuck home like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going a different direction, like not what's Wallace wondering. I think what's happening there is Big Baby has snapped.
Yeah.
And he's like, Big Baby? I'm not a baby! I'll show you, baby! And he picks up Wallace and says, I'll book you like a baby! This is a baby! And Wallace is like, oh no, oh crap, oh, what's going to happen? I think Big Baby is completely snapped, and he's trying to burp Daryl Wallace like a baby to show that he's not the baby, he's the daddy, and you're the baby.
And he also might be checking for poopies, I don't know.
And that's... Dr. Davis is giving him a prostate exam.
That's true, too. I mean, he could be a doctor. He does play with Doc again, so maybe he wants to be a proctologist. You never know. Well, John, we want to thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it. RedZombie.com. It's great stories up there. We're on there. I'm sorry. Our faces are on there, unfortunately, sometimes.
It's good reads every day.
It's good reads every day. One of my favorites is the morning dump, though.
I like that everything's broken down for simpletons like myself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Right, thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon. All right. We're going to take one quick break, and we'll be right back to do a couple more things with this show.
Excellent.
All right.
Gangrene TV Season 8. We are now broadcasting on two different formats. Video format, just like the past seven seasons, and now podcast format for all you fans on the go. Go check us out at redzombie.com to find out how to watch and listen to us. And as always, stay infected. All right.
We're back.
We are back.
That was a good interview with John.
It was. That was very good. I enjoyed his What's Wallace Wondering.
Yeah, so let's get right back into that.
So let's go in the swing. So like I said earlier, we asked the question. This is now the third installment of What's Wallace Wondering?
Second.
No, third.
Third?
Third. Go okay. on our Instagram page and you can see all three pitches.
I'm sorry.
At gangrenetv.com. No, that's cool.
I'm dumb. What do you want
no,
from me?
No. I'm not calling you out like that. I'm just saying that maybe you need to go and look at our Instagram page, at gangrenetv.
Okay.
And then you can tweet us at gangrenetv.
I will, and then I'll call and text.
So we got a lot of responses for this one. One of my favorites, like I mentioned to John, was Chuck from Red Zombie said that's how John got me into the hotel last night after the Red Zombie party. And then we got a couple of guys saying, Nathan Hodge says, no, Big Baby, I didn't hide any Easter eggs up there. So that's a good one. We also have Stats would really like this one. I can't leave the platoon. I told you to leave me there, Gump. Stats was – last week Stats was doing all the Sixth Sense movie,
right,
and
yeah.
all the M. Night. And then we got the Don't Atomic Drop Me, Bro, and Get Your Baby Fingers Out of Here. But, you know what? I guess it's our fault because the picture is a little different. I mean, Big Baby is giving him a rectal exam. you know, and then there's a couple where you just can't read it. So, you know, thank you, everybody, for your response. I mean, Kurt, do you have one? I mean, it's kind of a different picture. I mean, there's a Instagram account called Awkward NBA Photos.
Yeah.
And I had to tag them into this picture because they'd enjoy that one. So.
Right. It's yeah. What do you think he's thinking?
Oh, man. You know, I was going to go straight for the butt thing.
Yeah.
But, like, John had a good one with the baby and the burping, but I don't know. I mean, it's a different one. Like, maybe Big Baby's saying a lot of things in that one.
Yeah.
And maybe Gerald Wallace, basically what I'm saying is, like, you're going to have to buy me dinner first before you get up there.
Yeah.
So, of course, we go with the butt jokes. But, I mean, nonetheless, hey, why not?
Yeah, you know? I think he's simply just thinking help.
Do you think maybe Gerald Wallace is going, oh, whoa, hey.
Help me.
You know?
All right, in the hoop.
So we got a quick in the hoop.
Right,
Jess Camrato wrote an article.
I do remember her.
Do you remember the 2009 pick? He was the second round pick for the Celtics, almost the last pick in the draft. He was the 28th pick. Do you remember? Let's see if we can jog your memory here. 2009, the year after they won the championship.
Was that the Gabe Pruitt year?
That was – no, Gabe Pruitt was on the team, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
Gabe Pruitt was on the 2008.
Okay.
So I'll help you out. Lester Hudson, do you remember him?
No, I don't.
Okay, well
– I usually do remember all the picks,
I know.
Too.
He was the second-round pick, second-round 28th pick. He was almost the dead last. So Jess Camrato wrote –
So was Big Baby.
That's true, yeah. So she wrote an article. She had an interview with him. And he tells a story – then when he played for the Celtics back in 2009, KG took it upon himself to become very good friends with Lester. And one night, KG calls him up, and whenever a veteran calls a rookie, you have to do what he says. So Lester picks up the phone. KG tells him to meet him down in the lobby. He cannot be late with KG, so he showed up 10 minutes early. They're walking down the street. They show up at the Louis Vuitton store. KG buys him everything he wants. And it was just that story of where you always hear negativity about Kevin Garnett and how, like, he's just a jerk sometimes and he's just constantly bashing players on the court and all that. He went ahead and took a rookie who 9 times out of 10 are not very well liked on a team because you kind of have to put your dues in.
He actually did the same thing the year before. The first year he got here,
he brought Big Baby out.
They were in
That's
Italy,
right.
And it was two of them. Maybe that was Gabe Pruitt and Big Baby. I don't remember.
I think you're right, yeah.
And he bought both of them nice Italian-made suits when they were in Rome.
That's right. That's a good
point.
So
that was the second year he did that.
Yeah, so it's funny.
Because if I remember back then reading it all those years ago, 8 years ago,
yeah.
Right? 9 years, something.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. 8 years, as long as the show.
He said one of the guys brought him out when he was in Minnesota.
Right.
So he always likes to do that.
Right.
And he's a good guy.
That's good to do.
He may say bad things to you, but he'll buy you a suit.
Hey, you know, you just
he bought Big Baby a suit, made him cry.
I don't know, probably Big Baby probably cannot fit in that suit anymore. But
no, he's a
he's a big baby. He's part of the big club.
It's getting to the Sweetney level.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Woo. Oh boy.
All right, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well,
I just wanted to share that story. I thought that was a really good story.
It is a good story. I'm still waiting for my suit from you.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you're the big superstar.
Well, I don't know about that.
So,
we'll see what happens.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for John Corrales for coming on. And stay infected.